And a very pleasant good evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live. We're broadcasting from the auditorium of Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, at 601 South Main Street, one block west of the Water Tower, as our pastor frequently says. And your host for the program this evening, the man, the myth, the legend, Mark Meek. Good evening, sir.
I wonder if he's really talking about me. I think he's really us mixed up.
That's the radio personality coming out.
Yeah. You just hand me a microphone, folks, and watch out.
So we got Gary Ware in here with us.
And that was the other.
Keep you honest.
That's the other reason for the intro, too. You know,
Mark. Back in the day, you ever hear a ham radio?
Yeah.
Well, that's it up there in the booth.
Ba-da-boom.
That's ham radio. Yeah.
Spreading the pork.
Yeah, I've also heard of hamming it.
Hamming it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to be here for about an hour talking about who knows what. And Jim, thanks for the intro, even though it was a little too spicy. So, so Gary, what's going on with you?
Oh, we...
You're running around like crazy here.
I know. Everything's been going well. It's just busy, which that doesn't seem to change any. So,
yeah, whether you're doing good or doing bad, it's always busy.
It's just probably better if you occupy yourself doing productive things instead of not so productive things. Yeah. I've been guilty of both.
So I was thinking about the program this afternoon. I thought, you know, I've got a question. And it may be a series of questions that I wanted to ask you.
Doesn't involve math, does it? I remember one time back.
I kind of remember that, too. No.
Early 90s when I balanced the budget for the whole United States and got everybody a refund.
So. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did very good.
They just didn't listen to me. And see,
you know what? I'll bet you that you might fit right in up there at Washington right now.
Probably. I think back then we were probably $1 trillion in debt, and everybody thought, $1 trillion, that's just crazy. And now
we talk about having a new stimulus plan that's $3.5 trillion,
right?
Just for that.
Just for one budget.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about politics.
So. No.
That's so the question.
You got off on that math thing.
Right.
The question was this, and it may kind of lead to some more questions, but you know, you're a businessman and you're a church leader and you're a father and a grandfather, and I had a whole bunch of stuff, a radio media guy. I mean, you're really into a lot of different
things. You just
keep
showing up long enough and you finally just...
Well, I just kind of wanted to get your perspective on, out of all that, all the things you're involved in, where's the main point of your focus, do you think?
Well, so when I do my best and have my best days, usually it's when I keep my main focus on the Lord.
Hmm.
But then I don't always do that real well.
Yeah.
So I think I've gotten better, but then, you know, I get busy and sometimes that slides. But after that, then definitely my family, which is...
Yeah.
Has a lot of involvement with wife and grandkids at this point, so...
That's really what I thought you would, you would come out with. And you know, you're in a kind of a high-profile job where you have constantly either have employees or customers wanting to talk to you. And
you've been in
I don't
my office
do very well with my focus on the Lord when there's other people trying to talk to me.
Yeah, and I can definitely relate to that. And so what I kind of can tell you where I've been this summer as far as trying to keep all that on track, is I have, and I'm not, I mean, this is probably not the way anybody else would do it, but I kind of carved out 30 minutes at night where I've ended up doing a lot of series through Andrew Womack, and I've just been recording that, and then that's kind of my time to go start getting ready to go wind down for the evening and focus on a little bit of the word to kind of wrap up the day, and that's been real good. Andrew is right now on about the, I think, the ninth week of a series on teaching out of the Book of Romans, which I don't know if you've listened to any of that or not.
I hadn't listened to it, but I'm wanting to get the whole thing listed all at once.
Yeah, and well, it's been verse by verse for about 8 to 9 weeks. Yeah. I think it's in the ninth week right now. So that, I'll tell you what, that there, and I've been doing this even before that, but that series on Romans has been really good, and that's something that kind of helps. Man, you get so much stuff going on, and I know, you know, just being in business yourself and ranching and all the things you've got going on, with everything that goes on in the world, I mean, I sometimes just get overwhelmed. I'm like, I don't know how I can keep all these balls I'm juggling up in the air all at one time. And then, so then I go back to that in the evening and I kind of get grounded again. And I'm like, I'm really not in control of keeping all these balls in the air anyway. If it was all up to me,
be a mess.
It'd be a mess. And it has been a mess time to time, mostly because I get worried about something and try to take over and end up messing it up worse. But there's a lot of crazy things that can go on when you're self-employed or running a business.
Oh, yeah. and it seems like that it's everything, every minute it changes almost.
It does, yeah.
And it seems like that all your plans that you have for today, you know, my wife's always telling me, you need to have a plan and you need to have some purpose in what you're doing. And I walk out the door in the mornings and it's like, you know, you see that cartoon character's eyes get about this big around and their hair just like, all goes straight out. Like, that's just about the way mine.
There goes the plan.
So. Yeah. Yeah. As the other night I came in and I hadn't been there but just a minute. It's about this time of day. I thought, man, I'm so glad the day's about to end. About that time, somebody called and said, hey, there's a fire up there on sort of by your place. And I thought, oh, no. It actually turned out not to be, and I was glad of that. But that's just kind of the way you're – that's just the kind of way you function, you know, trying to – real actually just putting out fires.
Right. That's where I was going to go with it, too. A lot of times that's – kind of what seems to happen, whether you plan it that way or not. Something comes up and you end up putting out fires, in quotations, but trying to keep everything on track. But a lot of what is, I tell you what, you know, and it's really a testimony of probably the last 3 years since 2017 or so, is when, you know, I kind of stepped into a little bigger role at work where I was at. My brother retired in April, and, you know, he had been a big part of making decisions and doing, you know, things that needed to be taken care of. And I've still got a brother there that's with me, but, you know, more of that kind of got placed on my shoulders. And man, from the get-go on that, I mean, there were a lot of nights where I did not have peace. And, you know, it was just like, you know, you could take 70 years of the business and run it in the ground pretty quick if you didn't know what you were doing, and and I was pretty sure I didn't. So so I remember going, one of the first big things that happened after I kind of took the reins on that deal was you and I going to the men's advance up at Woodland Park, and you know, I was still kind of in turmoil about, you know, am I doing this right? You know, what if this happens? What if this happens? All the what ifs that go into, and most of them, it's like everything else in life. A lot of the times, a lot of the what ifs are stuff that
never happens.
Yeah, so you lose 4 hours or 5 hours of sleep over, you know, something that may not ever even take place, and odds are it probably won't. So, but I do remember going to that meds advance and just kind of through the weekend seeing that, you know, let's just slow down, take a breath, and trust in God to help guide the boat and make the right decisions. And like I say, there's still times where I overplay my hand or get worked up about something that maybe I do have control over, or maybe I don't have control over, and I'll kind of get off track. But then either through my wife helping me or just slowing down, listening to the Holy Spirit, you know, then you get those things back on track. And I'm real, you know, I'm even cautious about saying all that, because even while I'm saying all that, I'm still thinking in the back of my mind, you could still screw this up tomorrow or whatever. But so far,
that's always there.
Yeah, so far.
You know, Gary, it's people have to chart their way through life, and just like what you're doing, it's sort of like you get going in the right direction, and then, you know, all the worry and all that tries to come back, and then you have to deal with that, but in the end, everything's going to work out, and that's what we got to keep our eye on.
Right.
Even though there's the opportunity to mess things up.
That's true. And, you know, one other thing I can tell you that's taken place over the last 4 years or so, I guess, is, you know, when I first came into the position I was in, I would say I was prepared, but I didn't have all the pieces in the right place. And, you know, God has brought in people and put them in position that, man, it's been a tremendous help. So I've got good people that work for me that are able to make sure everything stays on track. And for the most part, I mean, you know, I don't have to worry about, you know, if I know somebody's going to do their job. I mean, they step up and take responsibility and do what they know they're supposed to do. And so that's been a big benefit. And it's not, I mean, it didn't start out that way. And you kind of have to go through making a bad decision or two to get where you're at. But it definitely ended up on a good run with everybody being in the right place.
You know, the thing about it is, too, going forward, you know what you need a little better now than what you probably did
right
there when you first started.
And the other thing, the whole other dynamic to it is, you know, we did business in a different way even 4 years ago than what we're doing now, because the whole industry and the whole economy and everything is just changed so drastically, because, you know, used to being in a small town car dealership, you could sell new cars and new Chevy trucks or whatever and make a good living. And we started seeing a few years back that we needed to have a little bigger vision and get some different revenue streams coming in than what we were doing that had worked for
a lot of years.
Yeah, 65 years or so it had worked. And so we started making changes in that direction. And that was also hard to do because there were, people don't always like change, but we started doing that. And so far it's all been working out.
Yeah.
So then you enter into the first quarter of 2020, and things that have already been changing just go from crazy to crazier.
Yeah.
And so you're thinking, you own a business, and all you're hearing now is they're going to make you shut down, and you don't know if, what was the first. First deal was like, oh, flatten the curve in 2 weeks, right? You remember all that? Yeah, this will be good in 2 weeks, You get down the road and you're like, this ain't gonna get better for a while.
Actually, from what I understand, there's some aspects of your business that have gotten really bad because if you'd stayed where you were, things would be really bad for you right now.
And we know, some dealers that had the same business model we were that didn't change that are in that position because they didn't adapt to what was going on. And a lot of that wasn't because I woke up in the middle of the night and said, we need to do this or whatever. It's just events that started occurring and, I know God was leading us in that direction to do those things, but it wasn't like I had a revelation of this is what we need to do to get through this. It's just, we kind of, the word says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It was kind of like, a lot of times we had enough light to take the next step or two. And when it started working, we started seeing, hey, that's, that's the direction we need to go. And so that's kind of where that went, the whole pandemic thing too, just if we hadn't done what we had done, it would have been pretty difficult to get through all that. And by doing what we're doing, we start adding used vehicle lines and doing things, opened up another location. We kind of thought when we opened up Childress that, hey, this pandemic thing is going to be over here by October or November and things will be back to normal, whatever.
Yeah.
Jim can give me a definition of normal probably. But that was another deal.
It's the setting on your dryer. That's what normal is.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Nothing else matters. It's all normal is.
So I was thinking, we got this election coming up. We got this opportunity to put this new location in at Childress. And, we'll get through this. The election will come out the way I think it'll come out.
Things went haywire, didn't they?
What timing God had for that too, because that really, we experienced some product. When I say product, I mean experienced difficulty getting new vehicles last year, but it's been nothing like it was this year. Even when they shut the plants down for 6 or 8 weeks, whatever it was, they kind of got all that back up and running. Were able to get through that. And then it's kind of been like they've been tightening it back down because of this microchip shortage that's going on worldwide.
Yeah. So how has that happened? I mean, is it just a poor planning or is it?
It's people that didn't know what to expect coming out of.
And they didn't vent things back and get it going again.
Right. They cut back. and canceled contracts and said we don't know how many cars we're going to expect to build, and the demand on vehicles stayed strong and even increased over it, what it had been, and they weren't able to catch up on that microchip demand on those contracts they had canceled. So then they kind of start seeing the light at the end of that tunnel, and then the numbers start going back up on the COVID count and everything, and so then it shuts plants down here and shuts plants down there, and it just keeps compounding what's been a difficult situation.
Yeah. You know, I remember when we went to the men's advance.
Yes.
And I can remember that you really were kind of had a confirmation that you were going in the right direction. Up there, you kind of shared some of that with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, Gary, what I noticed in what you're talking about, some people are just think that they're going to wake up some more and there's going to be this bright light and God's going to show them what to do.
Right.
But most of the time, it's kind of what you've described as far as walking things out and maneuvering through things. And a lot of times you don't even realize until it's all over with that, hey, that must have been God.
Right, yeah. That's it. We've had some rocky deals that have happened, and but, I mean, my new car business through this year with no product is up 20% over what it was last year.
Wow.
And I would never have guessed that would have even been possible. But it's part of that is because now when people start looking for a vehicle, you know, it's not like I'm going to go to dealer A, B, C, D and figure out who's got the best deal on this vehicle. Yeah. And it's like now it's like that dealer has this vehicle, so we better go jump on it while it's still there.
Better get it before somebody else gets it.
Right, and that's been a lot of it. I mean, you know, we've sold vehicles in a larger area than we ever have before because of that, because somebody will say, hey, I need this pickup, and nobody else has got it. And it's been the shoe's been on the other foot a time or two. You know, I've had people wanting to order pickups or buy pickups, you know, and I'm like, I can't get them. I have zero brand new Chevrolet trucks in stock right now. That's never, never happened.
And, yeah.
I mean, when my grandpa started, they kept a new truck and a new car down next to the old bank building. Mm-hmm. And they may have had a day or two where they sold a pickup before they got one in on the train at Canadian and had to go get it. But it's never been like you have zero inventory to sell from.
So you were telling me one time, and that I think this is very interesting, how the automobile industry has changed. And one of the things was that, like they just had maybe black and white.
Right.
Two colors is all.
Well, my dad, you know, his one of his lines was, if people bought what they needed, they'd buy a white two-door pickup or a white four-door car, and that'd be it. But people don't buy what they need. They buy based on what they want. And so that's why it's evolved to be, I figure get how many different configurations they had on pickups. It's like 14 different trim levels with
now.
Yeah, with so many thousands of different combinations of options. Now that's gone back the other way because they can't build all of it. So it's back to like, do you want this plain Jane truck or do you want this one that's got a power seat? And that's about it.
And I guess the color is the same thing.
Yeah.
You take what you get.
Yeah, that's true. The color pretty much the same if you get a white one in. I've got a really good example of a real good friend of mine, real good Christian guy, too, that we've kind of encouraged each other down through the years, did some Walk to Emmaus stuff together and different things. So he started wanting a new Tahoe back probably about the time you got your new truck, somewhere back first part of the year, I think. And so started trying to order him this Tahoe, and finally I got it in, and I thought, yeah, we got this done. And we got it in, and the company had changed that order and taken all the bells and whistles off of it, which his wife wanted. And so he said, no, we're good, we'll wait, we want to get what we want to get, which I don't blame him. I'm, you know, you know how much new Tahoes are.
I was like, man, that's a pretty big investment.
Yeah, so you kind of want to get what you want to get. And so we've gone through the whole summer, and he's like, we're just going to wait on 22s. And so I was like, okay, well, so then about a week or 10 days ago, we get a notice from GM that it's pretty much going to be status quo. You know, you could order Tahoes, but they're kind of, not hard loaded. You know, you can get leather, you can get some nice stuff, but you couldn't get all the bells and whistles like what he was wanting. And so I call him, and I was like, Dick, look, they're telling me this is going to keep going for a while. And he's like, well, maybe we ought to start looking for a used one. Like, well, you know, when you're talking 2020 or 2021 used ones, they're
out of this world.
Yeah, they're. And he's like, okay, well, we're patient. We'll look. If something comes up, we'll be good. So today when we go in to check our allocation on our orders, we are one of 47 dealers nationwide that got the configuration that he wanted. And I was able to put his order in today.
Wow.
And it's going to be, I mean, it's still going to be.
Maybe it'll be like my pickup.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think it'll be 6 or 8 weeks, but I was like, nobody got a High Country Tahoe. I mean, there's 4,000 dealers. And
you got one of 47.
One of 47 that got what he had his heart set on getting since.
Yeah.
And he had been patient. He hadn't been, you know, out of line.
That sounds like favor.
I think it's probably favor. That's what I was like, Dick, I don't know if it's been you in the prayer closet or your wife, but I said, you're not going to believe this. I said, now look, I said, because we got this, everything's worked out. I said, tell her not to be picky. It's going to have everything on it. So he's like, I think we'll be good. So it's just funny stuff that takes place in the car business.
Yeah, I can remember when I got a black pickup that I didn't order.
Yeah, and that was probably my fault.
Oh, it was. Yeah. I thought maybe it was GM's fault.
No, that was probably me. Sometimes I have a tendency to screw up every now and then.
Everything else was all right, but it was black.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that didn't work very good on my Caliche roads.
No, I remember that one.
It was mostly kind of a tannish, whitish.
Yeah, with a black background.
You could see a little dark background back behind it somewhere.
So, yeah, it's been interesting over the last 4 years or so, just seeing the changes in direction and everything. And then I got this friend who about 2014, somewhere in there. You remember when that was, when you called me about the radio station?
Yeah, it was 2014. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. It was.
Calls me.
I was really hoping he was telling a different story about some other friend.
No, it was that one. So
it was that friend.
Yeah, that friend up there in the booth. So calls me. I'm in Orlando, Florida. Got my grandkids down there. We're doing the whole Disney World thing. And Jim calls me and he's like, hey, there's a radio station coming up in Shamrock and this guy's fixing to lose a license. And I think we can buy it. What do you think? So we had a discussion about numbers and everything. And I said, well, take some off that and call him. And
as a true car salesman would do in the reverse situation, you know. Yeah. He coached me on how to deal with the folks.
Well, so. If you'll notice, there's a big sign out there.
It says, we buy cars.
We buy cars. So he's working both ends.
He's working both sides of the street. See, done that in 2014 as well.
So. Yeah. So I said, here's what we'll do. We'll make them this offer. We got the number. And was it 20 minutes?
Yeah, something like that.
20 minutes later, he calls back and he's like,
Well, we bought a radio station.
We bought a radio station. So I was like, well.
And that was the very first real instance in my life where I learned definitely don't ever make somebody an offer because they might take it. Be careful because if you make them an offer, they might take it.
So, but the radio deal has been a lot of fun, too. We've had a lot of interesting stuff come out of that, and it's been interesting. Like Jim and I had this conversation about when we first bought that. About, I mean, we didn't have a clue. I mean, Jim knows the technical end of it and everything, but how it was all going to unfold, work out, you know, where it was going to end up being. I mean, everything of that was that happened was, I mean, it was one step after another. Like we had a drop dead date. We had to get it on the air, and so. Jim's like, well, we got to get this on, and the only thing I know to do is Cornerstone Church has a building in Shamrock that has a flagpole. If you can see if somebody can put that antenna on, we'll get it on so we can save the license. And so called one of the guys in the church, and I'm like, we need to get this antenna hung up on a flagpole down at the old nursing home. And like, what are y'all doing with that? So we're putting in a radio station. Really? So there were...
We didn't get just him. We got about four.
There were no less than four trucks that showed up down there to hang our antenna. So we got it on. We operated it off of this little bitty... It was not a laptop. It was a...
I don't know, a 2012 version of a mini laptop. It literally wasn't more than 10 inches in size, you know.
So we got it going, and anyway, then...
We still have that, by the way.
Oh, we do?
I found it digging in the box in the back room the other. I don't know if it'll come on, but we've still got that laptop.
If we want to start another radio station.
Yeah.
And this old transmitter that sounded like an air raid siren or something running back in the back of that building. So you knew when you walked in the thing was going. Of course,
Yep, station's on the air.
Anyway, so we got to the point where we're like, okay, we need to take this to the next level and get it. Of course, we were always working towards that, but it just, as it progressed, things would come up, and it's like, we really need to get a building to operate our radio station in. And guy comes up and he's like, hey, I don't know if you guys are interested or not, but we've got a vacant building uptown that has been remodeled that used to be the Chamber of Commerce offices. Nobody's using it, and they're looking for somebody to occupy half the building. They've got to get an attorney that's going to occupy half, but he doesn't need the whole thing. Won't cost you anything, but...
The water bill.
The water bill.
Yeah, we had to pay the water bill when we moved in. Yeah.
And so, okay. we can give you testimony after testimony about how all that just...
Yeah,
lined out and worked out, and usually it was last minute or whatever, but it was always, the timing was always perfect on it, and everything worked out. And that's been something that really, more than just having the radio station, to be in a partnership with Jim, just to have us, you know, something that we both enjoy doing. I mean, we have our discussions.
We have our official business conversations.
Right, but that has, you know, a lot of people don't know Jim and I's relationship went back to 1991, somewhere in there,
yep.
when I first started coming to Christian Center, and I was learning so much about the Word and learning. That's the same time, you know, I'd go out to your house and mm-hmm. I'd have questions, and I was like, I don't know what to do. I'm going to drive out to Mark's and see what he says about this or that. And Jim and I had those same type of conversations, and he would say, I need to run to Amarillo and pick up whatever. So we'd hop in the truck and go to Amarillo, and so we had that relationship between he and I where we, you know, would it be iron sharpening iron or whatever? I don't think I had
much. I don't think I had much either, but we were doing our best to keep each other built up.
Yeah. Other than iron.
pewter beating on pewter or something. I don't know.
Anyway, so that kind of established that relationship we had. And then, you know, hey, kids got big and everything. We kind of had stuff going on, went different directions. And then it kind of touched base after both of us had some pretty tragic stuff happen that kind of brought us back together. Mm-hmm. And then this radio deal came up, and it's given us a really good chance to kind of reconnect. If you can be in business with somebody for,
six years, going on
7 years, and
stayed and killed each other.
You know? And still be friends, you know. But, you know, Mark, Gary and I did have that honest conversation. You know, I said, Gary, you're in business with your brothers, you know, running a car dealership. And, boy, on the outside, I've seen some rough things happen there, you know. And here we're talking just friends going into business together. And I said, you know, I value our friendship more than that. You're more valuable to me as a brother in the Lord than you are as a business partner. Mm-hmm. And we decided up front that was first. Mm-hmm. And that business was second. And it always has been. And it will be.
Yeah, and really the radio deal to both of us, it's never been about the money, has it?
No. You know, Mark, you know how you make $1 million running a radio station? You start with $2 million.
I was gonna say, it's about like farming to me.
Yeah.
But that's something that, you know, hey, you know, life would have been good without it, but it's been a lot more fun with it, and being able to, we kind of call it moving chess pieces or whatever, where
yeah.
Jim will say, you know, if we could do this, we can move this over here.
Put this signal here, and we can get another signal over there.
And so that's been like the game over the last
several years.
And that's another deal where, you know, you cannot say either one of us were, I mean, it definitely wasn't planned. It's all just come into line, come into place. I mean, you know, we got the one station. Then, so the first year we did Shamrock and Wheeler football, and we alternated depending on which team was away or, you know, whatever the convenience was on, or whatever we thought would
we juggled it really difficultly that first year.
Yeah, and then lo and behold, here's another radio station that they're fixing to lose the license on, that's licensed to Wheeler. And so Jim's like, what do you think?
And then using the same wisdom that he taught me in the first time, we went through the same negotiations that time.
I don't know. Worked
about the same way.
Yeah, I don't know how long it took him to say yes.
Probably 2 days, but, you know, not much.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was a deal where, okay, you can recoup this much money, or you can lose
the whole thing.
Lose the whole thing. So, anyway, worked out. We got 98.9, and we're able to get it on the air. And then it's just been a crazy ride ever since then with all the.
So how many stations do you have now?
We have a total of 9 signals. Is that correct?
9 signals.
Okay, so part of that is what we call American Cowboy Radio, which that's another 20-minute conversation. But we ended up with a permit for a radio station in Guthrie, Texas. Some of Jim's Because to get one we wanted, we had to get two, right, Jim?
It was buy one, get one free. Right. Except he wants to charge us twice. But anyway, yeah, I'm not going to sell you one without selling you both of them. So
anyway, we do that. But then, so we're like, I don't know what we're going to do with Guthrie. We'll just probably let that go to seed. And then, so one of Jim's buddies is like, I got this crazy idea for a cowboy radio station, which, I mean, they play all the
cowboy songs.
Yeah,
cowboys.
The old cowboys.
We're so familiar, Western. We can't even talk to you about it, you know.
Yeah.
Roy exactly. Rogers and Dale Evans and the Sons of the San Joaquin.
Yeah, so I'm like, whatever, because I don't know what else to do about it. So, and Ben, who is in charge of that, which is still all kind of the same group, I guess you say, Jim. But anyway.
We're all in it together, yeah.
Yeah, so he takes that over, puts it on in Guthrie. Guthrie's got
161 people.
He blinked twice. He blinked one time too many.
Yeah. And even the county commissioners, he leased space from them on their
911 tower.
Where they got their tower, and they're repeaters. All like, what do you want to put a radio station in Guthrie, Texas for?
And so we're sitting in commissioner's court, and the judge says, I just got to want to know, are you guys crazy?
And so, anyway, so he goes, puts this station on, and then puts it on the internet and starts making every cowboy poet meeting, every Western music meeting, everything he thinks has a little bit of a connection. He starts going to these deals and getting connections. And now, that thing has got listeners overseas. He has a crazy story about one of the DJs overseas called him and
interviewed him, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
And he won Disc Jockey of the Year from the International Western Music Association. So. I think he was the only entry, but I mean, because there's nobody that plays their music. But
when you win first in the beauty contest, you don't have to tell everybody you were the only person in the beauty contest. It's all been just crazy the way all of it has worked out. We've ended up with that. We ended up with a station in Pecos, Texas,
which is also carrying American Cowboy Radio.
Is Pecos a cowboy place or?
It's oilfield.
Oilfield.
I mean, it sounds like cowboy, but it's oilfield.
Oilfield.
Yeah, I'm sure there's probably some big ranch country out there too, but it's like we went down there to put that thing on the air and walked in KFC down
It was KFC, it sure was.
And it was, I mean, there was literally an inch and a half of caliche dust in the floor because all the oil field guys that were coming in.
And they all drive them white trucks that are now,
kind of like your black truck, but it was a white truck.
It
was covered with an inch and a half of caliche. And so we've just had a ton of fun, though, doing it and kind of seeing where all of it's going. And like I say, it just seemed like every time we didn't know what direction that we were going to go, then God opened up the next step for us and we're able to make it work. And somebody out there has got to be thinking, yeah, but that's a country and Western station, because.
Yeah, we're having a Christian program tonight.
Yeah.
So how does that mix?
I don't know. I haven't figured it all out.
Well, I'll tell you that our pastor is the one who conceived the entire idea of having a secular station and using it to plant the seed of the gospel.
Yeah.
And he has 9 one-minute vignettes a day on all of our stations, including the rest of the network now.
Yeah.
And so it gives him an opportunity, and it gives us a chance to plant that seed of the gospel and then keep going, and let that germinate in people. And Pastor said, a few weeks ago, he said, this probably not a month goes by, I don't get one or two people tell me, hey, I heard you on the radio. And I said, well, Pastor, you've been on my radio for 5 years, and I've never heard one person say, yeah, I wish you didn't play that preacher all the time. Because that goes by them. They don't catch that.
Yeah.
But the word's going out.
Yeah, I've had some comments too that you know, people do pick up on that. And hey, you know, I love Christian radio. I do. And you know, when I was at the darkest part of my life, you know, Christian radio helped get me out of all that, because I was able to ride around and listen to some really good teaching, and you know, listen to music that built me up. And but you know, a lot of people that aren't there are going to be listening to.
They're going to be listening to probably
Willie Nelson,
country.
or whoever. And you know, so that is opportunity. I mean, we've got people going to church that heard Aaron on the radio and decided to come over and check it out. So, you know, it is what it is.
I listen to it, so.
Yeah.
It's easy listening. Top music, seems like.
Yeah. So, that's all been interesting. And, you know, that's another deal that when this pandemic thing hit, you know, if you're in business and something like that hits you, you really, I mean, I cannot imagine what it was like to be in the restaurant business last year when they were shutting everybody down. But, you know, I know a lot of businesses adjusted and thrived because people were doing takeout and, you know, they had to get through those first few weeks of trying to figure it out. But then, you know, once they were able to adapt, they did well. And, the radio station, you know, we took a pretty big hit that first quarter.
Probably 2 months, really.
Yeah.
Because we just stopped pushing, and we just started trying to get about some good news. I mean, every hour we were just saying, hey, folks, here's some good news. Here's what's still going on. Here's who's still open. And we just gave time to anybody who needed it.
Yeah.
And just started seeding back into our community the good news. And then we rebounded after that.
And I was even to the point where, if they start talking negative about COVID, just don't put it on there, because I didn't want.
Well, and that's when I canceled our national news. You know,
yeah,
just got tired of listening to it. You know, the state news.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, state news. But anyway, that we were able to adjust and just kind of go with that for 2 months. It probably dropped down, and then it kind of started. I think people realized, hey, you know, life's going to go on, and people are going to eventually be able to buy toilet paper and
disinfectant wipes.
Disinfectant wipes and plexiglass, you know. So people started coming back, and then, it kind of started building and going. And, you know, I think one thing that did help last year was when they decided to go ahead and kind of have a school year and do football and everything, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And this year, same thing. I mean, that kind of, I think, makes people feel like they're...
Feels like they're normal.
Yeah, getting there anyway. Yeah. So
how many different football teams do y'all broadcast?
So right now we're doing Shamrock and Wheeler, and... we'll probably expand that. We didn't do it this year. We were making some changes on some frequencies and stuff, and just didn't really have any kind of urgency to try to go out and chase after that. But we'll see where that goes. You know, that one thing about Amarillo is, you know, I don't. When the time comes, I'm sure God will say, here's what you need to do on that. But we haven't really had that on the radar at this point. So it's been fun.
I can tell you guys are having fun. So you get to interview people and you get to do all kinds of different things. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's been a neat deal.
Opened a lot of doors in the community. Y'all broadcast a lot of events, and
I'll tell you another fun thing too that's been kind of fun to watch is, you know, one of the early issues we had is we didn't really have anybody to sell advertising for us. And so we tried a couple of people and had a little bit of success, but just, you know, at that time, too, I didn't have time to chase it. And Jim, you know, he's got other jobs that he actually does to pay the bills, because this doesn't. But anyway, so we got acquainted with Buck Weatherby. And Buck, you know, and I don't think you'll mind me telling his age on the radio, but he just turned 83 in August, and he came. I went to him, and I was like, man, I really need help on this. If you can just help me out for a while till we get this deal figured out, I would appreciate it. And he was in his late 70s, and he's like, yeah, I'll do this part-time. But you can tell by being around him, too, that it's kept him going. I mean, he goes.
If I have a spring in my step like that man does when I'm 83, I have accomplished something.
Yeah.
Because he comes in every morning. I can almost set my watch. At 9:15, he walks in the front door of the station. He, whatever his routine is in the morning, he gets up, and he is springing out and going. So.
And he's, I mean, he's engaged, too. He's not just, you know, just.
Not just passively hanging out.
Yeah, he's like, we need to do this song, or we need to. We need to take that one out there. People hear that, they're going to push the button. They're going to listen to somebody else. We need to take that out there.
So, he's almost as bad as Gary is about that.
Yeah, so. I do that a little bit, too.
He does that a lot.
There are some songs that need to be taken out.
There still are. Yeah. It's a work in progress.
Yeah.
But it's fun. We have enjoyed that. And then my wife is a... been a very patient woman. I told her Jim and I are getting in the radio businesses. Okay.
Okay.
First thing she said is, I don't want to be the bookkeeper.
And she was for the first couple of years. I give her great props for that. So.
Yeah. She's like, you guys got to get organized. You can't just, you got to have a way of keeping track of all this stuff.
Yeah.
So. She, she's been a pretty good help through all that. So, but we finally did get it where she didn't have to mess with our radio station much. She's still
a little bit
every now and then. Yeah,
she's very good to remind me when those quarterly taxes are due, and that's something that's not always on my radar screen. So.
Yeah, and then she's good to remind me. How come Jim spent $1,200 on Amazon?
I keep forgetting she sees all that stuff.
So I'm sure it was important, honey.
So we've got a few minutes left. I want to ask you about this, but I don't know where you got started in your music career. But I can remember when you first started, I think it was up at the 180, maybe you was playing a guitar up there.
I did a little bit. See, I'll try to shorten all this up, but when back in the early 80s, myself and my brother, and I don't know if you remember Mike Bradstreet, and there were a couple other guys that we would get together once a week and play guitars, and then we all kind of got busy and had kids and whatever, and so I kind of put all that down, and I didn't play a lot until when we started 180, I started playing bass up there. And then kind of just played with it a little bit through that time. And then when I turned 50, I told Teresa, I was like, I'd really like to get another acoustic guitar, because I would always, I'd play acoustic guitar for a little while, and then I'd quit. And, man, it's a killer trying to learn just on your fingers and everything. And so, and I don't know why I thought I would do any better this time than I did all the other times, but I got an acoustic guitar. I was playing bass at church when we were down in the other building east of the water tower, the old Christian Center building, and So the guy we were playing with, he was playing acoustic, and I was like, I really want to do that. So she got me that acoustic guitar, and then I got hooked up with a couple of guys that went to the nursing home every week, and I honestly didn't know three chords. I mean, it was it was bad, but the great thing about the nursing home is they loved it.
It didn't matter.
Yeah, if you showed up, it didn't matter, and if you sang off key, they loved you still and everything. Yeah. So we did that every week until March of last year for about 12 years. About 12 years we probably did that pretty much every week, week in, week out. And then a lot of times we'd go over and sit in the barn and play over there after we got done at the nursing home. So when all this came up last year, we had to quit going in there. They finally let us in about 3 or 4 months ago, and then it lasted about... We were supposed to go in this month, and they called and said, no, can't do it until we get all the numbers back down. But anyway, yeah, that's kind of where the guitar playing has kicked in the last 10 years or so. That's been another thing, too, that's just been fun. You know, I guess all work and no play's dull. So
I'm getting to wonder if you ever work.
I just have fun.
Yeah, we just don't like to talk about it. It's what it is. So,
yeah, that's been something that, and you know, when I say I play guitar, I can play the guitar, but then you get really good guitar players like we had up here with the Alvarado Road Show. And then I'm going, yeah, I really can't play guitar.
Those guys, they get down.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, they are. They're good guys.
Yeah.
Too.
I do know what they do is work. I mean, because we've played enough of those gigs to know. Now, they're two guys, so it's pretty easy. They have two guitars and a little bit of equipment. You know, we go do shows and we've got a whole trailer load of stuff, and you start loading up at 2 in the afternoon, you get done at 2 in the morning, and you make $100, and you're going, it's like, that's not very
good. That might be another one of those things that you start out with 2 and
yeah.
2 million, it becomes 1 million.
Yeah, it could be, because you always have to have a nicer guitar or bigger amp or something like that. So. Yeah.
Gary, it's been great. I've so enjoyed sitting here listening to all this.
Well, it's fun. I've missed not being up here. I'm trying to remember the last time. It's been
a good while.
Yeah, probably last year sometime when we were in. But, yeah, I enjoy coming up and visiting. So.
Anytime you want to, just tap me on the shoulder.
I've got the same old stories. I don't know. You may not.
Well, you know, maybe we can put a new slant on them.
All right. Well, thanks for having me.
Well, Jim, we're about out of time here, so I'm just going to say good night and God bless.
All right. We'll see everyone next week.
All right.